This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, every Tuesday in the 11 o'clock first segment, we spend time with folks in the city that are difference makers. We thought that this was important to do. We continue to do so in our partnership with Greater New Orleans, Inc. and all that they're bringing together with their NOLA Coalition. And joining us today is actually someone from GNO, Inc. is Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility there. She helps run some incredible programs, and she's here to tell us and give us an update about one that they're involved in at the present time. Daphne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Noel. Thank you for having me here.
It's always good to hear from you. So you guys have embarked upon this Greater New Orleans Innovation Internship Program. I think y'all just finished hosting interviews. Tell us about that process. But first, tell us about what this program actually does and what it does and why.
So the GNO Inc. Innovation Internship Program has been an absolute game changer for the region. It's creating direct pathways for our college students to enter into high growth industries right here in our region. So our goal, we talk about business a lot with where we have to attract and retain business. We're taking that same approach when it comes to talent. Talent attraction, talent retention is critical. We can't have that one conversation without the other. So we looked at this and we say we need to make sure that we are the thought leaders on how to grow our talent pipeline. And so we have positioned ourselves as national leaders in building that pipeline for top tier talent in emerging industries. So we, in the Greater New Orleans region, we have 13 institutions of higher education right here in our region. Per capita, and I'm pretty sure you've heard Michael say this, but per capita, we are only second in the nation to Boston. We have a lot of education going here, and we're doing a great job of educating our kids throughout the nation. And so we want to capture those young people who are coming out of school or getting ready to, and letting them know there's a place for them in the industries here in New Orleans. And so we are recruiting at these universities. And we are recruiting our companies, and we're building those talent pipelines, and we're making that bridge where we're bringing together our education and our industry and our community for this program.
You know, that's really important, too, for these companies, because good leaders are always worried about succession, right? Timeline, yeah, of their talent within that organization. Sometimes the family dynamic changes. Maybe the partner gets transferred, or maybe, you know, they're aging out or whatever it may be. But you always have to have that revitalization of the talent pool within your organization.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're looking to. We're not just trying to respond to these needs of our companies and our industries. We are looking to shape them. We're looking to show not just we are, you know, we are an economic mobility, an economic development organization. But we also want to make sure that we're handing this playbook over to our industry partners so they can also take what we're doing and utilize this. Because we know that once you lose someone, that institutional knowledge is gone. And people who are from out of state don't tend to stay as long as someone who is born and bred here. And so we want to make sure not only do our companies have a strong pool of people to select from that are highly skilled and ready to work. We want to make sure that we are retaining our people that we are attracting. So that way we can build we can uplift our entire economic mobility, both intergenerationally and intragenerationally. We want to build wealth here in our region. And so some of our companies, our students don't even know about it yet, and they're here. We're trying to change that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Daphne, tell me, how long has this program been in existence, or is this new?
This is the fourth year, and mm-hmm. I'll tell you, we have had tremendous success. When I first came to GNO Inc., this was one of my first initiatives. And we started off with 13 students and about six companies that committed to us, with something new. And we pay our interns. We pay them a wonderful wage of $20 per hour, right? So mm-hmm. our companies, when they come on, we have done all the human resources parts of it. We have gone out and screened. They go through a rigorous process for this 8-week internship opportunity. We cultivate our young people. They go through soft skills training. They have professional headshots. They are getting professional resumes written. So when they go in, they are ready. And they do interview prep. And we partner with our nonprofits and people who are right here in the region to provide this training. So we're doing it all here. And when they come in to interview our students, they are impressed.
And have y'all been able to grow this program over the 4-year period?
Absolutely. Like I said, we started off with 13. This year we are slated for 35.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And not to mention, we have gone from about six companies where we started to now we have, I want to say, about 26 or 27.
Good news travels fast, huh?
It travels fast. And not to mention, and I'm just going to throw like a little plug out there, that the wage for our young
people. Go right ahead, Daphne.
Over this time, just a little something for it, for the companies out there. Because this is through our nonprofit arm, you can make a $5,000 tax deductible donation that you can write off at the end of the year, and that will cover your intern's wages. If you said, "Hey, I need interns and I need tax deduction," come talk to me. We can make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. There's more than one way to skin a cat for sure. But these are the base hits that you hit every day that make a difference, right? And as you so eloquently put it, talent attraction, talent retention. Sometimes I think a lot of people don't really understand just how important that truly is.
Yes. In order for the companies to come here, they have to have a pool to select from, an applicant pool that's viable, that's in their area, that's highly skilled. We have to have that. So this is a revolving door. We want companies, but we need the talent. The companies want talent, and our talent wants the companies. We're bridging that gap because they go hand in hand.
So after the first couple of years, they go through this internship program. What is the success rate relative to the company that they've interned with and the intern actually gaining permanent employment?
So as I told you, it started out 4 years ago. So now our graduates are coming in. Like some of our graduates graduated last year, and our last year graduation rate for our seniors was at a whopping 80% of them were employed in the greater New Orleans region in companies either who were with us or companies surrounding.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. And others may have gone to some other location in the country or otherwise.
Yes.
You just never know, right?
And also, well, we do, we have some follow-up. The 80% was for the ones who were here. We do have a couple who were from out of town who did return to their hometowns, and they are employed. And so if you want to talk about employment rates of our graduating seniors, it's at 100%. It's 80% for those who have remained in the region.
And that's really the target that you're looking to hit, you know, to be at those significantly high rates. That's the best testament as, or best evidence of knowing that what you're doing is actually working.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, this, the cohort expansion we see now, that reflects our region's growing innovation economy. It demonstrates that companies are investing in talent at an unprecedented rate. And I'll tell you, we are, of course, supported by the Board of Regents. These are taxpayer dollars that are going back into our economy for our young people, for their training and for their jobs. We have both private and philanthropic investment where we have had donors who have said, you know what, I believe in this. Our supporters are saying, this is what we need to do. And these are major industries that are supporting this work. So we have upheld our end of the bargain, and we have showed results, and we are incredibly proud of that. So we want to make sure that we expand, and as I said earlier, to make sure we are the thought leaders in providing the playbook to make sure that it's not just centralized here at Geno Inc., but how can we make sure to expand this to our various companies who have more of a reach than we do right here, to make sure that they are able to get these same results and build up their applicant pool.
We're visiting with Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc. When you talk about expansion, I'm sure y'all have a strategy built around that. How big could this program potentially become?
Well, I mean, I will say that this the kind of growth that we can experience here can be exponential. Of course, we are limited by funding, as with everything. There's going to be a funding cost to this. As I said, we pay the interns, so companies don't even have to pay them. They can if they choose to or have the ability to, but we are always going to have those kind of finite numbers around us because
right.
$20 an hour, not to mention all of the professional development they go through, these things cost. So as we expand, of course, the cost expands. So not just the investment from the Board of Regents and our state taxpayer dollars and those private and philanthropic donations, those are things that help us sustain and also grow. We are also, we have funding from the Delta Regional Authority, which has allowed us to expand even more so. So it is, we can grow exponentially. It's just going to be, we have that one barrier.
These are things that, you know, are really interesting for our local universities, some which are struggling financially. I think, you know, most always have their challenges, but it's something, you know, to help with is, and this is actually the same thing with in the high school years. You know, when you mm-hmm. have these types of successes, it really makes a difference because it's all about entering the workforce at some point, right? There's a multitude of entry points.
Yeah, and we want to, and that's one of the things I'm going to pivot a little bit where we talk about. Specifically, my work with the NOLA Coalition, as you know, I lead the services side of that. We want to also look at not just our four-year degrees. We are looking at how we are expanding this program to include those who are going into some non-traditional roles, who are looking at trades, because that can be a game changer for the region, creating those direct pathways into that high growth. And some of the things we're looking at is letting the NOLA Coalition be that powerful vehicle to connect people to these opportunities and bridging the gap between workforce training and real employment. And so we're looking at how we can be more inclusive in how we are dealing with our talent pipelining. And what that means is how are we looking at reskilling and upskilling, not just the students who are in college or who are within, you know, that 18 to 26-year-old range, but also parents and individuals who have been disconnected from economic progress.
You know, and I think what is going to go along with that is maybe universities, four-year learning institutions kind of look at themselves critically to see how they can align with these two-year colleges, right?
Absolutely.
And how that ultimately works, because I do believe that we're at an inflection point, because you're seeing enrollments down across the country for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. you have to wonder. I mean, if you look at it from a pure marketing perspective, one would say, well, we obviously are not giving the consumer what they want, right? And so
yeah.
how do we retool, how do we redefine ourselves?
I think it's going to take for our two-year and our four-year institutions to, of course, work together, which they do. But looking at things in a more industry-focused way.
Yeah.
Industry, we have to look at the demands of industry, and we have to make sure that we're able to pivot to those needs. The jobs that we had before may not be the jobs of the future. There are people who are coming up with their own job titles. There are going to be jobs we've never heard of before. How are our higher education institutions preparing themselves to account for that? And that's something that needs to be looked at. How are they communicating with industry? And I know that with us, and I'm pretty sure you're familiar and you've heard, like, we have GNOU, which brings together all of our higher education leaders within our region, and we bring industry and those educational leaders together to make sure that we're having a table for all to sit at and for us to have those discussions. And we have seen tremendous progress with that.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting, Daphne. I don't know if you have an opinion on this. I mean, you know, the model historically has been, you know, when I went through college, you wanted a well-rounded education. I think mm-hmm. the number of hours that you had to graduate was somewhere between 128 and 132 educational hours. In many respects, yeah. I'm wondering, you know, with all the electives that you had to take and stuff like that, whether or not that's outdated now, you know, and because learning is different, access to information is different. When I went through college, you learned a lot of things because you didn't have access to a lot of information yeah. about those things. You know, if you just subscribe to five different, not news sources, but information sources out on the internet, you're going to be exposed to more information than you would have ever been exposed to, in my experience, when I went through college with some of the electives and otherwise. And I'm curious your thoughts about, you know, retooling that. I mean, it just seems, I don't think people want to spend time at 120 to 132 hours, where, you know, a lot of these classes, a lot of the elective offerings, you know, I've looked at some yeah. of them, you know.
I see what you're saying. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'm on the fence with that. That's come up in conversation before in some of the circles that I'm in, of course. And, you know, as a former, I don't know if I could ever say former educator, because you never stop being an educator, ever.
No, not, that's true.
but looking at it from the education lens, and then looking at it in my current role in economic development, economic mobility, I see the economics of it, but I also see that there is still a difference. For example, a lot of times we're looking at medical doctors. When they're going into medical school, they want a more well-rounded person, because you have to deal with a lot of different people. And when sure. we look at specific news sources, the algorithms are designed to feed us, you know, what we already want to hear. We're in silos, we're in echo chambers. And so sometimes being in a large university or being in a small university and having different perspectives to have those conversations with can help shape dynamic worldviews, especially as we are more global as a society. So I battle this because I see the economic value and say, hey, let me focus on what I came to school for, but do I want a doctor who can look me in my eyes and have a conversation with me as a person, or a doctor who just looks at me as, you know, someone who we're just operating on and not looking at me, the dynamics of me as a person? Or, you know, I look at someone who may be in, and I'm not saying liberal arts people don't have the mathematics minds, but I'm just saying, like, if I want to start my own company as a creative, it would be beneficial for me not to just focus on my creative skills and my creative acuity, but does it help for me to be in those classes for accounting and business management? Because I may need those later, and that's a little bit different and all from what I'm talking about. So I think maybe we need to restructure and think about the courses, but I think that's a larger conversation, and I think it's really dynamic, and it can have an effect. It can have a, depending on how it's done. We need to use a scalpel and not a sledgehammer when addressing that, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. I mean, I just get to the point where you can't be all things to all people. You got to kind of pick where your strengths are and what you're going to be. You know, whether or not you're taking classes to improve interpersonal skills, which I think is absolutely needed today because we have become so disconnected. We don't speak face-to-face with folks any longer. So said the radio talk show host. But I yearn for it. You know, I mean, like you're sitting in your little room, and then, you know, it's like I got to get out of here. I want some personal interaction. I want to talk to people. I want to be out and about. You know, and everything else. And I get all of that. But it seems as though, first off, that higher ed is not very nimble. They have never been nimble. And when I look at an organization like GNO Inc., I think you guys are the epitome of nimble. You know, you're always reacting to what's actually happening out there in real time and trying to stay out in front of the curve as opposed to reaction, you know. And it just seems that approach to me is what young adults are looking for. In today's world, and I think they're not getting it in some of these institutions that are stuck on stuck. And you can't be stuck on stuck ever, because the moment you are, you're done, and you got to work three times as hard to catch back up if you're not staying out in front of this on a daily basis. Just a thought. But anyway, congratulations on the success of the Greater New Orleans Innovation Internship Program. You guys always do a great job with all of that. And congratulations to your interns, too. We wish them the best, and hopefully they have a great experience. And they go out there and get jobs and make money. And that's what
it's all about. Stay in the region.
Stay in the region. We want to give them a good reason. We got so many other reasons to stay here. We have to give them a couple of more, right? Like being able to support oneself. Absolutely.
Yes, that's what I want. I want them to be home buyers and contribute to our economy and make sure that we can uplift our entire region.
No doubt. Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at the GNO Inc. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great Mardi Gras.
Thank you. You too.
We will be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll visit with Patrick Button, Assistant Professor of Economics at Tulane University. Recent report coming out, the U.S. economy depends more than ever on the highest earning 10% of Americans. Stay with us.